Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al-anbiya wal mursaleen wa ba'd. Welcome to one and all for another session on the message of the Quran, where today we'll be discussing the 21st juz of the Quran and the many wisdoms and guidances that we can derive from this beautiful section of the Quran. Before we begin, a quick mention from our sponsors. The series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005. With a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the hashtag #ShareYourPlate campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. With that said, today we'll be beginning with the 21st juz of the Quran. And the section that we start with is a continuation of Surah Al-Ankabut. The first verse is verse 45 of Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqim as-salah." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite on to your community the revelation of scripture that is sent onto you. وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, because prayer prohibits, prayer obstructs immorality and indecency. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, remembrance of Allah is the greatest. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ, Allah is well aware of what you do. This first verse is very powerful and very moving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that revelation is at the epicenter, at the heart of our practice as Muslims. And accompanied with that is the prayer. Because revelation comes from the heavens to the earth, and the prayer is what connects the people on earth to the heavens, connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's beautiful because the prayer is described here as something that obstructs, that prevents fahsha and munkar, immorality and indecency. Fahsha and munkar are all forms of wrong, lewdness, impropriety, inappropriate behavior. Now the question many may ask is, how is it that prayer does that? How is it that prayer prevents all these different forms of immoralities, all these different forms of indecencies? And the ulama, the scholars explain that when prayer is done in the correct manner, it instills a sense of self-consciousness in the mind of the individual. Take, for instance, a person who's going to pray salah. Even before the salah, they're already planning, they're already conscious of their responsibility. They realize that they need to make wudu, so they go ahead and they make wudu. After they make wudu, they proceed to the masjid, forgetting about everything else that they may have on their plate, whether it's work, whether it's family duties. They make it a point to now proceed forward and go to the masjid. Once they come to the masjid, they enter by saying the dua, and it comes time to pray salah right now. And when the person raises their hands and say Allahu Akbar, it's as though they're leaving the world behind them. And when the person is in the prayer, they fix their gaze onto the ground. They don't speak anything unnecessary. They recite the Quran. They're able to control themselves. All of these minor actions that we're busy with in prayer help facilitate a major change in our lives. So when I'm outside and I have difficulty in controlling my gaze, perhaps in my prayer, when I put my gaze down, it will allow me to control my gaze. When I'm in my salah and I want to move and go somewhere, I don't, because I know I'm in my prayer and it's my duty not to go anywhere. It's my duty to stay fixed where I am. So these different parts of salah are what give me a very transformative experience. However, when we think about khushu', when we think about concentration in salah, and that salah that will prevent me from forms of immorality and indecency, we think about my body, soul, and spirituality. Body, soul, and spirituality. Physically, I'm not fidgeting in prayer. Physically, I'm not looking around in prayer. Then mentally, when my mind is, when I'm in salah, I'm with my mind. Not that I'm physically only there and my mind is just wandering with all different thoughts. Rather, I know exactly what I'm doing and I contemplate over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then spiritually, being able to be in the zone and connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first verse. And Allah talks about how the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything that it is that we do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that these signs that Allah gives to one and all. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. People would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would ask the messengers in general, bring a sign, bring these miracles so that we be convinced. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, look, it's not my duty to 100% convince you. My duty is to relay the message to you. The signs are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wishes to reveal them, they will be revealed. If He wishes not to reveal them, they will not be revealed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is not the Quran sufficient of a source of guidance as a miracle? And this is fascinating because sometimes people say, look, the world around us can be rationally, scientifically explained. And they say, okay, prove to us of the existence of God by showing, you know, the Quran splitting the mountains asunder, are making the sea part ways like it happened for the Anbiya of the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those signs are immaterial. Those signs don't mean much. The true sign is the revelation, because it's the revelation that connects you to Allah, the revelation that shows you what is most important in your life and how you can reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَرَحْمَةً وَذِكْرَى لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In it, definitely there is mercy and there's a remembrance for those who have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in verse 57, Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Every soul will taste death and they will come back to me. This is a verse that we're aware of earlier on in Surah Al-Imran. But Allah mentions again here that كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The only certainty that we truly have is the certainty of death, because every person will taste death. And then we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the following verses 58 and onwards, Allah talks about the different categories, particularly those who lived a life of righteousness, those who lived a life of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا they will be given balconies and higher stations in Jannah. Even in this life, when somebody visits, you know, a state, they'll go to the highest tower, the peak, and have a look at the rest of the city at nighttime when the lights are very bright and when the city is quiet. That serene vision, that moment is very inspiring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the people of Jannah who sacrifice in this life, they'll be given these balconies from which, these rooms from which they can see everything else. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they'll live there forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and ask the polytheists who created them, who created the heavens and the earth, the motions of the orbit and the sun and the moon and everything else. And subhanAllah, they will respond. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 61, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. That if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. So they associate partners to Allah with Allah, yet in the same breath, they will say that Allah is the creator. Have a conversation with somebody who's an open atheist or an agnostic, and they'll say, listen, there is a God, there is a higher being. Sometimes they will say that, an agnostic particularly will say that there's a higher being, but they're not willing to accept a particular faith. And the inconsistency in that is quite clear, that if it is that you believe that there, you were created by a being, don't you think that being would have given you signs, a path to follow, and that is Islam? Then Allah says that this life, in verse 64, this life is only a game. This life is an amusement. So don't be, don't exert all your energy in this life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِ الْحَيَوَانِ. The life hereafter is the most important. Hayawan is the one to live in. Right in the ending of Surah Al-Ankabut in verse 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive in our path, we will definitely guide them to our paths. You know, subhanAllah, this is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you sacrifice whatever it is near and dear to you, so that you can uphold and maintain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will guide such people, not to one path, to two paths, rather we're going to guide them to multiple paths. And in Arabic, when you want to emphasize a verb, you add a noon thaqila, you add a noon in the ending. So I could say nahdi, but when I say لَنَهْدِيَنَّا, that makes the statement more emphatic and more direct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with those who do ihsan, those who are opting for the best option and the best route. That is the ending of Surah Al-Ankabut. Then we begin Surah Al-Rum, which is a Makki surah. And right in the opening, Allah discusses how Surah Al-Rum received its name and what's its significance, because the Persians defeated the Romans in war. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses in Surah Al-Rum prophesies that they will be successful once again. And this is one of those miracles of the Quran, that a prophecy was made and that prophecy came true. And then Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ. This is the promise of Allah. Allah does not go against His promise. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people do not know. Then in verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. When you think about the people who are wasting their lives, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, they know the surface level of this worldly life. Right, they have all sorts of knowledge, whatever it may be, whatever it is that people are amused by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the extent of people's knowledge. The extent of people's knowledge is that they know basic issues of the worldly life. But when it comes down to the afterlife, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, they have absolutely no knowledge. And then Allah says, why is it that people, you know, the question comes, why is it that people are not concerned about the afterlife? And Allah says there's so many signs. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ Why don't they contemplate over themselves? Where did they come from? How is it that they breathe? How is it that they function? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is the easiest way to realize that there is a purpose in my life. The fact that I'm breathing and I exist, I must have come from somewhere and I must have an objective for my existence. Starting from verse 20, Allah mentions a series of similar verses where He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ From the verses and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the following. Allah talks about our creation from dust and soil. Allah talks about our us being created in as partners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we have our spouses. Allah mentions the creation of the heavens and the earth. Allah talks about our night and our day. Allah talks about the thunder. Allah talks about so many signs. And He says, after mentioning all of these signs, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ Those who have intellect, those who contemplate over the message of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept therein signs for such people. In verse 30, Allah says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا Fixate your gaze, focus on the straight path without, straying left or right, be on the straight path. Because this is the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within people. When we think about the primordial disposition, what makes us, what's our innate disposition? What by nature do we gravitate towards? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fitratullah. It is the fitrah, it is the innate disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the hearts of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these in the hearts of people. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ This is the message of, this is the straight path. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But majority of people, they know not. Again, we see this constant theme where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds people, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ That people, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ People don't know. People are unaware. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ Direct your attention لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا towards the faith حَنِيفًا Without associating any partners and being directly true to the message of Islam وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that majority of people لا يعلمون They know not Majority of people They know not. And we see this theme constantly that people decide to gravitate because of their muddied fitrah towards the pleasures of this life. And Allah says, most people do not know. Don't be among them. Be among the select individuals who are cognizant of the responsibilities that Allah has placed upon the people. And very relevant for us when we think about the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 39 وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ Wealth that is invested in incorrect methods through interest or through these other methods, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ That you're putting all of this money and into interest-bearing transactions or unlawful means, you may think that you're getting a profit in your investment. Allah says, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no profit. Zakat, on the other hand, when you give zakat with only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ Those are the people who will be given a multitude. Those are the people who will be given manifold. Oftentimes we feel this pinch, right? I got to go and give my zakat. It's hundreds of dollars. And it's just tough. How am I going to give this much zakat? I have to give $100 or $200 or whatever the amount is. For people who are very wealthy in the thousands, they have this feeling that, you know, man, I feel like my bank balance is going to decrease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Those are the people who will be given multiple. They'll give in manifold. And we have to have this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the system that He has placed, that the more charity we give, the more we will be increased in this life and in the afterlife. In verse 60, right in the ending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says, فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَّنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. That be patient, for indeed the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. This is a very inspiring and encouraging verse where Allah says, فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Be patient, know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And sometimes we may waver in our faith, but we should always hold near and dear to this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is true. If not today, then definitely tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then definitely in the afterlife, I'll be compensated for all of my struggles. Then we begin with Surah Luqman. Surah Luqman as well is a Makki verse, a Makki chapter. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts the incident of Luqman and the advices that he gives to his son. And he begins by saying in verse 13, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيْ. When Luqman addresses his son, giving him advice, يَا بُنَيْ, O my beloved son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, do not associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see how a father is addressing his son, but when he speaks to his child, he so affectionately says, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son, and Ya'idhuhu, he's giving him words of encouragement. And that's a lesson for us in our interactions with our, you know, children, our friends, our juniors. We shouldn't be patronizing. We shouldn't be abrasive and abrupt. We should be kind, gentle, and encouraging when we want to impart advice to one another. Ya Bunay, O my beloved child. And he starts talking about associating partners with Allah to avoid that, and how that is the greatest form of oppression. He talks about the kindness that we owe to our parents, how our mothers have done so much for us. He talks about avoiding, to avoid showing off, riya, to not be proud. And there's a number of very powerful advices that we should, and we can, and we should inculcate in our lives. He says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِكْ. When you walk, walk moderately. Don't walk with pride, with your chest sticking out and your chin up with a sense of superiority. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. And speak softly. Don't need to yell and no need to scream. Be humble and be composed. That is Surah Al-Luqman. Right in the ending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. He reminds us about the knowledge of the hour. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the clouds and how all of the knowledge of these specific things belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Day of Judgment, when rain will fall and how that rain will fall. Knowledge of what's in the womb and what's the future of what's in the womb, when and how a person earns, and when a person will die. Inna Allah alimun khabir. Indeed, Allah has knowledge that we have not, and Allah is very well aware. Then we begin Surah Al-Sajda, which is also a Makki verse. Surah Al-Sajda is somewhat well known to many of us. We may hear it in the Fajr prayer on Fridays. But Allah talks about, again, the common theme of creation of the heavens and the earth within a number of days, and how we should turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very beautiful verse is in verse 16. Allah talks about the tahajjud prayer. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. He describes the believers as those who leave the comfort of their beds at the thick of night, under the darkness of night, and they call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khawfan wa tama'a, with hope and with consciousness and fear. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, and they spend generously from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. This is very beautiful. You know, the Quran constantly advises us and reminds us about our duty to the poor, our duty to spend. And we don't spend what belongs to us. We spend what Allah has given us. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ What we have given you, that's what you're meant to be spending. And again, it's a very beautiful chapter. Right in the ending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who are abrasive, those who are hecklers and, you know, try to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ Turn away from them. Don't heed their ridicule and their criticism. وَانْتَظِرْ إِنَّهُمْ مُنْتَظِرُونَ Be patient and wait, because they're going to have to wait as well. And on the Day of Judgment, everyone will receive the reward or punishment that they deserve. Then we begin with Surah Al-Ahzab. Surah Al-Ahzab receives its name, and also the famous battle is its namesake, the Confederates, where multiple enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combine forces for a full-on assault on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. In this, Allah talks about how the different confederates and the armies, they got together to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in verse 9, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ That the enemies are amassing their wealth and their arms and they've become a confederate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to assist. It just took a gust of wind and their tents were flipped over, their utensils were thrown away. And subhanAllah, we learn from some reports that these calamities were striking the enemy lines, while on the other side, the Muslims were very comfortable, unaffected by the storm, unaffected by the jun, the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 21, Allah tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا That in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is an uswa hasana. There is a beautiful example. For whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ For those people who are يَرُجُوا اللَّهِ They have raja, they have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ And they have hope on the Day of Judgment. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا And they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very powerful because it tells us that in the message, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ that there is in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a beautiful example. A beautiful role model. And this should be engraved in our hearts when we think about the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a uswa hasana, a beautiful example that we follow. Not just an example, not just a role model, but the best of role models. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Battle of Ahzab and a particular incident that happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives, which will be the subject of the following juz and will be discussed there. With that, we conclude Surah Al-Ahzab, we conclude half or part of Surah Al-Ahzab, and we conclude the 21st juz. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to act according to the words of the Quran, to make the Quran the navigating compass in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the Quran and follow it. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.